big. I went, wow. So there was a big crowd. It was maybe 50 or 60 students. It was a student. It was a university. It's all intellectual. It's a very intellectual university. I couldn't get in, but my wife was there. I was hammering nails, sawing things. It's just a dummy on the university, right? And she was studying. You know. She used to come home. Why don't you, like, create some poetry or something, or do something intellectual? So just hammer nails all day. I'm sorry, I'll make a poem. 1, 2, 3, 4, open the door. So, anyway. So then all those intellectual students are there, and they're challenging. These were sannyasis, four sannyasis, Hare Krishna sannyasis. There's Vishnujan Maharaj, Brahmananda, that time he was Maharaj, Gargamuni, and Subal, four. So Vishnujan was the one who spoke to me. So then all the students had just walked away, and I was just standing there staring at him. Wow, what did you say? Could you say that again? He said, sit. He said, I'll tell you about my spiritual master. For sort of 3 hours he talked about Prabhupada. Just 3 hours. I was just like, at one point he said, oh, you're drooling. I was just listening. My mouth was just open. I was just drooling. I couldn't believe it. So then he started speaking about, he said, you know Krishna? I said, yeah. Krishna? I just saw Krishna. So he turned to Brahmananda and he said, uh-oh. He said, you saw Krishna? Yeah, in the museum, I saw the painting. He said, oh, okay. So then he started speaking from Ishvapanishad. You know, Ishvasham Idam Sarvam, and Krishna is the supreme controller, Ishvara, Paramah, Krishna, Brahma Samhita. And, you know, I had some doubts. So I said, you know, Krishna is the supreme controller, and then why doesn't he stop disease and things like that? And he was trying to explain it to me. And then the other sannyasi, Subal, he said, no, Krishna, you should have faith. Krishna can do anything. He, whatever we need, he'll provide. So I said, well, look at you. You don't even have any shoes. Why doesn't Krishna provide you some shoes? So 10 seconds later, and this is, you know, I'm saying this in front of the deities and all the Vaishnavas. 10 or 20 seconds later, a student came down with a brand new pair of shoes in a box. And he says, Dad, I just bought these shoes. They don't fit. Anybody want these shoes? So Subal, he took the shoes. He put them on. They were a perfect fit. So he looked over at me. He said, never doubt that Krishna is the supreme friend of every living entity. I went, wow. I said, you guys are really amazing. I never met anybody like you. I looked at Vishnujan and I said, I want to be just like you. He said, all right, come on. So we took a walk together and he preached to me. Long time, walking back and forth like this, you know. He took my hand, he's holding my hand. Walking like that. In India, they do like that. Sometimes, you know, friends hold hands. So he's holding my hand. We're walking back and forth. And just preaching and just... he must have really wanted to make me a devotee. I don't know. He must have seen something there. He's just preaching. He said, you understand? Now chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. I said, oh my God. I want to be like you. I said, okay, keep chanting. Hare Krishna. So then I said, please, don't go. And we're sitting in a tree, and he said, I have to go. It was like, you know, it was like love at first sight. I said, please don't go. He said, I have to go. My spiritual master has ordered me. I have to keep traveling and preach. I said, but if you keep traveling, he said, but now you're here. Stay a few days. He said, let me ask the others. So he went back. He said, this nice boy, he called me this nice boy, he wants that we stay a few days. And then Brahmana said, well, we will stay. I said, you can stay in my apartment. I lived in an apartment. It was an old building they were going to tear down 2 months later. They had a plan to tear it down. So we lived in one of these rooms. So I said, there's a room next to ours. You can stay there. Please. I was begging him, please, please stay. So Vishnujan said, all right, we'll stay. 3 days. Sannyasis can only stay 72 hours in each place. stay 3 days. So they came, and they stayed in the room next door. And then that first night, because I was doing some type of meditation, I said, okay, I'll wake you guys up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and you can come and do some meditation with us. So Maharaj said, we get up at 2:30 every morning to chant prayers to glorify Prabhupada. I said, 2:30? I said, okay, I want to get up with you. So I said, all right. So the next morning, there was a knock on the door. Sure, they came in. He had a big danda, Maharaj. He touched it to the ground. I went, wow. I said, everything you do is so amazing. Why did you touch that stick to the ground? He said, this is Vishnu, and I'm purifying your house. I said, thank you. So then we had kirtan every morning, and Gargamuni was a really good cook. And that was it. They cooked breakfast, prasadam. What they did is we went out shopping every day. I went out with Subal and Brahmananda. Brahmananda was very big, so we had to buy everything in the store. And I'm spending all my money. My wife's saying, we're spending all the money on these people. I said, don't worry. So if we keep feeding them, they'll stay. Especially the big one, he likes to eat. So every day we come in a shopping cart, you know, because they've been traveling. The four of them had been traveling. They were thin. You know, one had no shoes, and, you know, they hadn't eaten much. So like 3 days, you know, whoop! And I, my bank account, whoop! Wasn't much in it. So then they stayed, and every day, kirtan, like that. And then one night, Maharaj said, so tomorrow we have to leave. I said, no, you can't leave. I said, well, I said, you'll break my heart if you leave. And then he quoted a verse, 10th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, just as the twigs and the leaves on a river, they come together by the force of the river's waves, so also we come together as friends and family members by the waves of time and the reactions of our past activities. And then again, we're separated. I said, you can't do that to me. So I thought they were going to get up, you know, and leave, you know, a decent hour. But I woke up at 3 o'clock and I said, where are they? They didn't come in this morning. They didn't wake us up. And I got out of bed and I ran into the room and there was nothing. Nothing there. I just started crying. You know, grown man, and I just fell on the ground sobbing and sobbing. My wife came in. She said, what's wrong? I said, they're gone. They're gone. She said, wait, they left something in this room. So I came back in the room and it was a Vishnu Dharmaraj left me a little silver spoon, a picture of Prabhupada, and a picture of Krishna. And he said that Prabhupada had given him the spoon. It was from the Kartamashi deity. It was a deity that... Kartamashi means the boss. So there was a deity of Krishna. He used to stand like this coward boy, Lord Govinda. You see it in some of the old photos in the Leelamrita, standing like that. And Prabhupada had given him the spoon. He was very attached to it. The night before he was telling me, he said, I'm so attached to this spoon. He said, but Krishna breaks all our attachments. So then I saw the spoon, I put it in my chest. He said, Maharaj, lift me this spoon. A picture of Prabhupada. But they didn't leave us any address. They didn't tell us where there was a temple, where Prabhupada was. I suddenly realized that, you know, where they're gone, and how will I ever meet them again? He mentioned something about a society of devotees, a league of devotees or something. Where will I find any devotees? So I was devastated, totally devastated for about a month and a half. I used to walk around in the daze, you know, started Sangha, it changed my heart. And they had so much love. My point was that that's how I met Prabhupada, because they had so much attachment for Prabhupada, and I became attached for Prabhupada. Well, I mean, I want to become attached to Prabhupada. So about a month and a half later, one of my friends, Joey, he came, he said, you know those funny guys that were staying with you a few weeks ago, those bald-headed guys? I said, don't talk like that about them. He said, I saw a couple of them running around Detroit on the streets with some bells. I said, what? And I jumped in my car. I didn't even ask him where in Detroit. It was about a 45-minute drive from Ann Arbor to Detroit. I got there, I realized, wait, I don't even know where I'm going. I was driving around the city looking at these guys with bells. Didn't find anybody. Spent 3 hours driving. I went to the slums, into the ghettos, and everywhere. Looking, I couldn't find. Came back, and My wife, she's so depressed. You didn't find them? I said, no, I didn't find them. So another month went by, and the same person, he said, hey, you know, I had some of the food those people eat. I said, really? He said, yeah, I was walking down the street in Detroit, and I came across what they call a temple. It was like an Indian temple. It had incense and had this god. It was a black god with big eyes, a little sister, yellow, and a brother, a white brother. Man, they really got together, those people. You know, they had really like harmony, man. The whites, the blacks, the yellows, everybody. So, yeah. So he said, I kind of like those guys now. So I said, I grabbed him by the hand. I said, where are they? Where? He said, all right, I'll tell you, all right. He said, 43 Forest Avenue. I grabbed my wife. We jumped in the car. We get to 43 Forest Avenue, and nothing there, an empty house. I could smell the incense, though, in the chaunch. It was still there. I walked in the house, I'm tearing everything apart. Where are they? I'm looking to come. Where are you? Where are you? I'm looking, where are you? I'm looking everywhere for you. Where are you? Why are you doing this to me? I fell on the ground. Why are you doing this to me? I want to love you. I want to know you. Where are your devotees? All of a sudden, the devotee walked in the house. He forgot his bead bag. They just moved out of the temple, 43 Forest Avenue, that morning. And now devotees are, they lose everything, you know. He said, hey, we got a new temple over in 8311 East Jefferson. Looking at him was like, you know, it was like looking at, I don't know, you know, my savior, you know. His name was Bhattu Gopal. And later he told me, he said, you can't imagine the look you had in that face when I walked in the room that day. He said, you look like a madman. Yeah, I was mad. So he took me in the car and we drove over to 80th and we walked into the spiritual world. The devotees had, you know, they decorated this temple before they moved in. It was just heavenly. And I walked in, I said, I'm never leaving. I'm never leaving this place. But then one devotee, I said, you know, I met these four monks, they're wonderful. He started criticizing them. I got very angry. I walked out. I said, never coming back here again. You criticize my friend, Vishnujan Maharaj. Bang! I slammed the door. So then I got home, but I'd had a plate of prasadam. I was hooked. So I learned they had a feast on Sunday. So I came back and I met the proper devotees and began associating like that. And then, you know, but still, you know, the attachments were there. I was working and, you know, I had little money set aside and I had some plans. And 6 months went by and I hadn't moved in. Later the devotees told me, they said, we never thought you'd move in. I don't know what I did that scared them, but there was something about they never thought I'd move in. There were another couple, they thought they would move in. They never made it. But I remember it was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance day. It's in like February or something, isn't it? So I was still working as the gardener. I had, you know, everything, my hair, everything. I hadn't changed. I was chanting, though. I had my beads. So I used to chant in the bushes of the garden, you know, because I heard that Vrindavan, you know. And so I'd sit and I'd imagine I was in Vrindavan. This is a Govardhan Hill, and these are Kalpa Vriksha trees. I used to pray to the trees in the garden, you know. And I was chanting my beads, and then once in a while, the boss, he's a really heavy guy, he'd come and he'd catch me. What are you doing in there? I said, I'm picking up leaves. He said, if I catch you like this one more time, you're fired. I said, no, please don't fire me. He said, all right, get back to work. So, but I was in between the two. I wanted to join, but I was attached, I had plans. So then it was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disappearance day. So I heard from one devotee at the temple that the grandfather is more merciful than the father. I just heard that in a lecture, stuck in my mind. And I heard that you could pray to Bhaktisiddhanta, Prabhupada said you couldn't pray to his guru because his guru was so exalted. Who are you to pray to the guru, his guru, to go through Prabhupada? So I was afraid to even look at a picture of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. That's how I was preached to. But then I heard this lecture that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, on his appearance day, or disappearance day, you can pray to him directly. Prabhupada gave that special mercy. So I was waiting for that day like anything. It was, and it was weeks away. I was afraid to approach the picture of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati on the altar. I wouldn't even look at it. But I said, I'm going to pray to you on your disappearance day. So that day came and I woke up and I was like, that's all I thought. I was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So I had a picture of him and some candles and my japa beads. And I arrived at work and immediately went into the basement. They had a down basement. And my early morning job was to clean up the stool of the dog. They had one dog there. So I had to do that every day. So humiliating. So I went down there and I said, I'm just not going to do it. I said, I can't do this anymore. So humiliating. I could be serving Krishna. I'm serving this dog. So I turned the lights off. And part where over the dirt was in the basement, I put the picture of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and two candles and I lit them. I sat down and I started chanting on the beads. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare. I was praying, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, please break my attachments. Make me a devotee. Break my attachments. I know you're there. I know you can hear me. Maharaj told me, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I said, I'm not surrendered enough. So then I did full dandabhas. In the picture, I had my beads. I'm like in the dirt. I said, I'm in the dirt now. I'm at your lotus feet. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And all of a sudden, the door opens. This flood of light comes in the basement, and boom, the boss walks. He's a big man, 6'5". Big guy. Boom, turns the lights on. So, I had to finish my mantra, right? I thought it was offensive. So I'm saying, the lights are on, and please make me a devotee of Krishna. And I'm still in the dirt, lying down. I look up, and he's standing, his two big legs with boots over me. He said, what? Anyway, I won't say what he said. What are you doing down there praying to that picture with candles in the dark? Are you mad? I said, yeah, maybe. What are you doing? I said, it's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disappearance day. And I'm praying for his mercy I can become a devotee. He said, you're fired. I said, thanks. I looked at the picture, I looked at Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. I said, thanks, you did it. You did it, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. I'm fired. Thank you very much. And I took the picture, but I ran all the way home, and I burst into our apartment. I said to my wife, I said, he did it! He did it! He made me a devotee! And she's going, wow, you've really gone too far this time. What's wrong with you? I said, no, we're going to join the temple now. We're going to join. She said, all right. We'll join. Okay, we'll join. We just piled everything in my pickup. I had a pickup truck. We piled everything in there like that. Got all the money out of the bank. $7,000. Drove straight to the temple. On the way, I shaved a little bit up, shaved my face, got there, knocked on the door. They opened up. I said, I want to join. They said, who are you? Because I'd shaved. I didn't look the same anymore. I said, who are you? I said, I'm Bhakta Brian. Hare Krishna. I want to join. All right, come on in. We never thought you'd join. Yeah. Temple president took me upstairs. So, okay, you want to join? You have any savings you can help the temple with? I said, yeah, I have $7,000. And he said, all right, give me $6,900. So I gave him $6,900. Got $100. And that was a Sunday feast that day, so I gave $90 to the Sunday feast. I had $10 left. I was happy as anything. So they shaved me up and put me in. Those days we used to wear yellow. The grihasthas would wear yellow, and we used to wear these sashes, these big sashes. Like sannyasi had a big bow there, like one of theirs, and then my wife put on, we used to call them, the girls were called gopis in those days. Remember? So all the girls were gopis, and they wore saffron. In those days, there were no saris from India. We didn't have anything from India, just maybe our japa beads. So the girls all had saffron, gopis, and the men, they had yellow, like canary birds. So I used to like to dance in the kirtan. I used to go in Harinam. We go in Harinam. We distribute Back to Godhead magazines. There were no books in those days. Distribute Back to Godhead magazines. So 3 days later, the temple president called me in. I said, I want to make you the Sankirtan leader. So like, 50 devotees there. He said, you like to chant out there, and so why don't you be the Sankirtan leader? I said, okay, I'll become the Sankirtan leader. And tomorrow morning you're giving class. Class? I've only been here 3 days, and I missed the first two Bhagavatam classes. No, if you want to be a leader, you got to give class. I stayed up all night with Ishvapanishad, you know. And then I tried to learn to play the harmonium, because I said, you can't give class unless you play the harmonium. So, you know, I got down there, and, you know, do what he said the first day. They said the class was okay. So now, you know, I squeaked a few notes out. Hare Krishna! Couldn't change much. But, you know, and they liked that. So then, anyway, that's a whole other class, the first days in the movement. We used to eat, you know, they had this little... We didn't have plates in those days. We were too poor, so we just have a little square of plastic paper. We'd put it on the ground. And they'd come along with your halava, you know. And it just like kind of like ooze off the plate there. And you just... No spoons, right? And it's like you couldn't really like... You couldn't like really eat it with your hands. It was so hot anyway, you had to wait for 20 minutes before you could eat it. We're just kind of sitting there, you know, everyone was just looking at this kind of like a pop art or something on the ground. Different shapes and forms, you know, whatever it is. It's like it cooled down a little bit, you know, and then you kind of scoop it up with your fingers and you get a few drops. So we used to like, everybody would just go on the ground with their mouth after 15 minutes. All right, time to go on Sankirtan. So everybody go down on the ground and lick it up. And it was like really considered mercy in those days. Like if some milk spilled, because milk was the blood of the cow, you know. So like it was really, if somebody spilled the milk, he was like really an offender. But you were like, you know, the mercy hog. If you could like dive there first and lick the milk off the ground. So like the server would be going, he had these little cups, you know, little tiny cups, and he'd come with his big louche like this. And he'd try to like put the milk, at, you know, this, out of this huge louche in this little cup. So sometimes he'd spill like, you know, 20 brahmacharis would die for 5 drops of milk and lick it off the ground. He'd be all bruised. I got the mercy. Well, anyway, it's a whole class about what it was like in the early days. We used to wake up in the morning. First thing, before we brush our teeth, we just wake up. Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnam Eva Sisyate Ishvasham Idam Sarva. I memorized the whole thing. Every morning, for the first year, we'd wake up like army. We'd sit up in our sleeping bags. Om Purnamadaha. With 40 brahmacharis. Purna, purna, uda. Then we start dancing. Ishvasham, idam sarvam. Yay! There's like 40 mad brahmacharis dancing in their copas, you know, in the basement of the destroyed temple. One day a reporter came. He slept with us. See what the Hare Krishna movement was like. These guys running their private underwear, you know. Ishvasham, idam sarvam. It was a mad article he printed. Anyway, I better not tell you too much. Anyway, that's how we started. you know why we are a little like we are. So then, but we, you know, we were forced to learn how to preach because we'd have to go to the universities. The temple president, he sent us to university the first week. We'd have to go in there, we'd have to like sit down and preach the philosophy. Remember the first person I spoke to, I was a little nervous. So I said, do you understand? He said, you've been speaking to me for 35 minutes and you said the same thing at least 40 times. I don't remember what I said. But that's how I remember. 40 times in 30 minutes, I said the same thing, you know. This is how you learn to preach. And then I remember, we went to the university. The temple president was a pretty good preacher, actually. So he gave a lecture about religion. 3 classes in a row. You're going to have 2 classes in a row. So at the end he said, so like this we have to understand religion with realization, not just like parrot repeating something. And the students applauded when he finished. So then he said to me, "You're giving the next lecture." And I went, "I've only been a devotee 7 days." He said, "You're giving the next lecture." So the students came in. So they sat down. So we'd like to thank all of you for coming, and we're going to speak about Krishna consciousness. It's a religion. And it's not a kind of like parrot religion where people just repeat the same thing over and over again. It's a religion. Not like those kind of religions where they just repeat everything all the time. It's a religion. Not like some kind of religions, you know? They just, like birds, they just talk about the same thing all the time, repeat the same thing like parrots. That kind of religion. It's a real religion. We don't just say the same thing over and over again like parrots. This is Krishna consciousness. It's a religion. And we don't repeat things like parrots do. I went on for 15 minutes like that. So, you know, the students were like laughing like you are. So the temple president, he came over and he took over. He said, "You can try it, you know, next time." I said, "What did I say?" I couldn't even remember what I said. Anyway, so then life went on in a very blissful way. We had a really good cook, Narottamananda. He was such a good cook. I was recently in Vrindavan. I said, "Please, just make me a feast exactly like you used to make in Detroit in 1969. He cooked that feast, and I just went into ecstasy. We had nice prasadam. We made a lot of devotees. It was like a real family, had a real family mood in the Detroit temple. And then we heard that Prabhupada was coming to America. And that, for us, was like, you just can hardly imagine, because, you know, we just talked about Prabhupada and chanting Hare Krishna and Prabhupada and chanting Hare Krishna and Prabhupada and chanting Hare Krishna. There's so many stories, Prabhupada stories, and there were no photos, but we talked about Prabhupada. A couple photos. So then we heard Prabhupada's coming. So we just redid the whole temple. There was nobody had to say, "Prabhupada, can you do something?" You know, everybody was just fighting for service, and the temple was already nice. We just redid the whole thing because Prabhupada was coming. And the kirtans were getting more and more ecstatic, and the day was arriving and arriving. It was like 100 Christmas days in one day. You know, it's just going to come and come and come. And then finally the day came. It was in the summertime. We all get ready to go to the airport, and we're waiting at the airport, and Prabhupada's plane came, landed, and, you know, we all went and just, it's actually there in every town and village is a description of that particular arrival of Prabhupada. I think I'm quoted there. And all I remember, because I had a camera and I wanted to make sure that I got a picture of Prabhupada. Did you read that? It's in the Leela-Amrita. So I told Sasabhu Maharaj, he printed that. So I'm there looking at my camera. So finally Prabhupada, he comes out of the plane. We didn't see him. He comes up the concourse, and then all of a sudden he's there. And it was just unbelievable. Everyone fell on the ground. Everyone was crying. Everyone. The men, the women, the children. It was just Prabhupada's presence just drew out of you, you know, a type of feeling that's not of this world. And we just fell on the ground. But I was with my camera, and I was thinking, he looks just like he does in the pictures. He looks just like he does in the pictures. And I forgot to snap the thing. I never got a picture of Prabhupada. That first, I always lament I never pushed the shutter, but I was just amazed. And I dropped my camera. I'm looking around. I said, everyone's crying. I said, why am I not crying? I said, I have no love for my spiritual master. I said, here's everyone just, you know. And then all of a sudden, Prabhupada was there, and he came, and he embraced Kirtananda was there, and our G.P. Sim Bhagavan, he embraced them, and I'm just going, wow. I said, Prabhupada's here. He's so big. Actually, Prabhupada was very small, but in his presence, he emanated this just grandeur, because he was such a great personality. So he gave a conference like that, and then we came back to the temple. So initiations were the next day. Now I'd been a devotee, you know, almost a year by then. So I my name wasn't on the list. I was the Sankirtan leader. I was giving classes, everything. I went to the temple. I said, I'm not on the list to get initiated. He said, no, you're not here 12 months. I said, I'm a few weeks short. Please let me get initiated. So he said, no, you can't get initiated. 12 months. I was devastated. So I don't remember too much about that visit. This is like, how many years ago? 25 years ago. The memory fades a little. But I do remember that Prabhupada was leaving, and I was up in my room just, you know, so sad. I didn't get initiated. And I said, maybe Prabhupada will go and never come back. I'll never get initiated. He said, I want to be initiated. So I said, anyway, I'll just let Prabhupada know I exist. So I'll give him a donation. So I scrounged in my drawers and I found that $10 bill that the temple president let me keep. So I took that bill and I put it in an envelope and I said, Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my most humble obeisances. Please accept this donation for your Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. We just started it a week before or something. I heard that you have a Bhaktivedanta Book Trust and it's very dear to you. Please let me make one of these first contribution to your Book Trust. You don't know me. My name's Bhakta Brian. I'm just living in this temple, but I'm your servant, and I love you. And I want you to have this letter and this donation. So then I put that in the envelope, and then I ran downstairs. And Prabhupada was at the car, and then I yelled out, "Prabhupada! Prabhupada!" You know, everybody else was. You know, it was kind of a quiet moment. Prabhupada was getting in the car, and I ran out of the temple. Prabhupada! Prabhupada! You know, Prabhupada turned around like, what's happening? And I ran up, I said, this is for you. So just like, you know, as Maharaj says in the Leelamrita, this oceanic smile came over Prabhupada's face. He said, thank you. And for me, that I just fell apart. I said, that was it. I said, that's all I needed was a thank you from my spiritual master. You know, it's like sometimes you work so hard, and you know, we as devotees, again, the dhanam, the janam, the sundarim, we don't want money, we don't want association with the opposite sex, we don't want name or fame. But we get from our spiritual master some glance, just like Krishna in Vrindavan. He's famous for those sidelong glances. He looks at the gopi like that. Something, you know, and the gopi just... So Prabhupada just gave this oceanic smile and said, thank you. And that was enough for a lifetime. A lifetime. I just felt so satisfied. I was ready just to go back and work so hard for Prabhupada. So then, that was it. You know. And then we went back and, you know, big kirtan. By that time we had, I think, the Macmillan, that blue Macmillan Gita. Ishopanishad was printed. We were out there distributing books. And one day... You know, the bell would ring whenever we get a letter from Prabhupada. Didn't matter who it was to. If a letter came, it was everybody's letter. It was Prabhupada's instructions were not, although they were meant for individuals, we should think that they're also meant for all of us. Like I told you, when I read Prabhupada's books now, I'm always thinking that Prabhupada's preaching to me personally, because not impersonally, he's preaching to, he said, my only complaint is my disciples don't read my books. He said, I wrote these books for my disciples. So I read them like that. So then bing, dong, dong, dong. So that there was a special bell. That bell was only reserved when a letter came from Prabhupada. That bell rang. It was like when they ring the bell for the firemen, you know. Then they just run, they go down the thing, and then they get in the car, and then boom, they're off to the fire. Whatever you were doing, wherever you were, you know, that bell, man, you came. And we used to get letters, you know, semi-regularly from Prabhupada because everyone was taking the opportunity to write. Bang, bang, bang. So then we all gathered in the temple president, he said, there's a letter. Now whoever got the letter, they got to read it in front of all the devotees. So I think maybe Bhadu Gopal, or he got a letter, or maybe Govinda Das got a letter. Narayan got a letter, and then he said, so who's the letter for? The letter is for Bhakta Brian. And I went, wow, me? Temple president, there's only one Bhakta Brian in this temple. I said, you mean me? Prabhupada wrote me a letter. I couldn't believe it. Prabhupada wrote me a letter. He said, yeah, come get your letter. I said, let me. I came and I was just, you know, that moment remained so, it was like meeting Prabhupada. I opened that letter. Dear Dr. Brian, please accept my blessings. I am in due receipt of your letter dated such and such and your kind donation of $10 to my book fund. I want to thank you very much. He said, I have information from the temple president that, anyway, I'll just say what he said, but please forgive me. He said, I have information from the temple president that you are a very nice devotee, sincerely engaged in Krishna consciousness, along with your wife, and you are very enthusiastic about this process. He said, do not worry that you have not been initiated. He said, go on following these rules and regulations, chanting 16 rounds a day, and in due course of time, I will be very happy to accept you as my duly initiated disciple. Your ever well wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Key! So, you know, years later, there's that pastime of Mukunda. Was it Mukunda? Mahaprabhu wouldn't see him immediately. Mukunda. Mukunda Datta. Mahaprabhu wouldn't see him. For some reason, he'd gone to some other lecture or something. So, but then the devotees appealed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, you please see Mukunda. So then Mahaprabhu, he said, I'll see him in 1,000,000 births. So when Mukunda heard that, he was in ecstasy. Oh, he's agreed to see me. The Lord is going to see me. It's for sure. He said 1,000,000 births. And he began dancing in ecstasy. So when I read that letter that from Prabhupada, oh, that in due course of time I will accept you with my duly, that was good enough for me. Prabhupada knew I existed. He was going to accept me as his disciple. So 2 months later, I got initiated by mail. Bees came. Name was there, and so forth. And maybe the next month after that, 2 months later, we got Brahmin initiation. So then, the temple president, Bhagavan Das, he was going to go to, but he got a letter from Prabhupada. Prabhupada wanted him to go to Europe to help open some temples and particularly to look into the situation in Paris. So then we heard that he was going to go. So then I went to his room and I said, you know, I'm not, he said, you know, I'm very attached to you, so I'm going to go with you. He said, but you're married. I said, so what? So I want to travel and preach. I've been married for a year now. It's a big deal, you know, I can travel and preach now. I said, all right. So then he said, Prabhupada wants us to go. And he said he heard a rumor that Prabhupada was going to London around that same time. So if I, as his new secretary servant, could arrange to get on the same plane as Prabhupada, he would appreciate that very much. So I mean, I got on the phone, I, you know, called around, I called New York City, got in touch with one senior devotee there, found out Prabhupada's schedule because Prabhupada was going in 1 month from New York to London. So I said, found out the plane, got a reservation, 2 seats left, got a reservation on that flight to New York City. 3.5 weeks later, we're in the car, bye-bye to the wives. Driving out, don't know when I'm going to come back. So then we drove to New York. And then Prabhupada wanted to see Bhagavan, so he said, he called him up. So Prabhupada called us into his room, the two of us. And he said, so you boys, he called it, we were boys actually. He said, you boys, you're going now. So I said, I wanted to give you some encouragement, some inspiration in your preaching. So he was preaching to us. He said, go preach Krishna consciousness, spread the holy name of Lord Gauranga, distribute these books, manage things very nicely. What else did he say? Do everything as I have taught you. So we said, all right, Prabhupada. And he said, oh, I will give you something to inspire you. He said, what do you want? My mind was racing, you know, because I knew that a year later, this is also a bit confidential. Maybe I shouldn't tell it. Anyway, I'll tell you. About a year later, earlier, maybe a little more than that. No, a year earlier, year and a half, 2 years earlier. Prabhupada had called the devotees, you know, Malati, Shamsundar, Guru Das, Jamuna, and Janaki, Mukunda, he called them to Montreal to see him before they went to open the first temple in London. So they came and they had darshan like that with Prabhupada. He was also giving them some nectar. So then Prabhupada said, so I'll give you some mercy. What do you want? So Mahalati, she said, Prabhupada, can we kiss your feet? Do you ever hear this? It's quite... So Prabhupada just, he went, hey, how did he go here? Like that. He just to make another Vaikuntha move, he just go, you know. So it just means a positive yes, there's just nothing in the world, you know. And Prabhupada went like that. So then, you know, they each kissed his feet one by one. Under the desk. They crawled under the desk and kissed his feet. Hare Krishna. Talk about some stuff. The dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee, the water that's washed his feet, and the remnants of his foodstuff are the source of immense spiritual potency. I'll tell you in a few minutes. I guess I'll just keep... Should I keep going or is it too late?
Okay.
There's a really nice story about the water that washed Prabhupada's feet. It's maybe a half hour away. So, if you don't mind. So then Prabhupada said, did you some mercy? So I was thinking, yeah, I want to kiss Prabhupada's feet. But then Bhagavan spoke up. He said, we want some of your... We'd like to have some of your clothes, Prabhupada, to take. Because like Mahaprabhu, he gave some article of his cloth to Maharaj Pachapuruddha and he worshipped that. So Prabhupada says, take what you want. So, you know, he went over to, you know, he's taken the spiritual master. It's like, especially our relationship with Prabhupada was very much in the mood of awe and reverence. I mean, we're talking like attachment, but you have to understand there was so much awe and reverence. And we never, you know, we wouldn't think of disobeying Prabhupada. No one would break regular principles, nothing. You just, when you were in Prabhupada's presence, you were deadly afraid to make the wrong move, you know. Although Prabhupada was kind to us, he was very strict with us. So, you know, we walked over and I just froze, you know. So Bhagavan, he took the servant actually handed him a dhoti and some long underwear. Prabhupada had the saffron long underwear which he used to wear in New York City when it was cold. So Bhagavan said to me, which do you want? I said, I'll take the saffron dhoti. So he gave me that saffron dhoti. Then the next day it was time to leave to go to London. So it was just pandemonium the next morning. I don't remember exactly what happened, but we were all supposed to get to the airport. So when I arrived at the airport, Prabhupada wasn't there yet. There was me, Bhagavan, and then there was Prabhupada and Pradyumna, Prabhupada's secretary. There was four of us. Somehow the Prabhupada arrived a bit late, and there was a big commotion because there were so many devotees. There were, for those days it was a lot, 300 devotees from all over America, New York. Whenever Prabhupada would come, it didn't matter, to come from anywhere to see Prabhupada. So then we got there, and there were a lot of passengers trying to check in. So they hadn't opened the gate up yet. So Prabhupada just walked right to the front of the line. You know, just like he was like, when he would walk, he was like a swan. He just didn't really, you know, he just walked to the front of the line. He didn't exactly know what was happening, what the procedure was. In those days, you would check your luggage in and show your passport at the same place. And that was at New York City. In those days, the passport control, if I remember correctly. So I just came right up because Pradyumna was doing something in the back and Bhagavan was speaking to somebody else. And I stood next to Prabhupada. And then we checked our tickets in and they checked our passports. And then they wanted to see what was in Prabhupada's bag. Prabhupada used to carry this little white... he used to keep all the special things in this little bag. It was like a kind of a little tiny suitcase, only this big, but... pliable plastic, soft plastic, white, with a buckle and a lock. So he would carry this wherever he went. He had his medicines in there. He kept his passport in there. He kept, you know, anything that was really special, he wouldn't give this bag to anyone. He wouldn't just let it go out. He just was always with him. So the man, the customs, he wanted to see what was in that bag. So he asked Prabhupada to put it up. So he put the bag, Prabhupada the bag up, but he couldn't undo the lock. So the man was getting impatient because there was like, you know, 300 passengers behind us ready to get on a plane, and we couldn't. So then he spoke up to Prabhupada. So I became very angry. I said, I put my face on him. I said, if you ever speak to my spiritual master like that, I'll smash your face. And even Prabhupada, he went, oh. I said, I'll smash your face. So the man became angry. He said, so you do it then. If he can't do it, you do it. So Prabhupada said, do. So, you know, then the onus was on me. I took it and boom, it opened just like that. You know, I looked at Prabhupada and he went, I turned it around. And then the man looked inside and there was all kinds of far out things in there. Ayurvedic medicines and all kinds of things. And he, you know, and I just kind of shut it, you know, because he was just like, you know, he had to kind of shut it like that on him. I turned around, locked up. He said, all right, go. So then, boom, boom, we're through everything, and we're walking in the corridor to the plane. And, you know, all of a sudden I realized, you know, I'm with Prabhupada. This is the first time that I was ever alone with Prabhupada. I'm walking with Prabhupada. I say, what do I do now? You know, there's this big commotion behind us because, you know, then Bhagavan wanted to get on the plane in Padumna and the people were pushing and it was just a big commotion. So just the two of us are walking alone on this long corridor to the plane. I'm thinking, oh, Krishna, thank you, this corridor is so long. And I'm walking, and I knew, you know, I'm with my spiritual master, you know. I said, Jesus, this is a precious moment, you know. But I didn't know what to say and I was nervous. So Prabhupada said, so, this humbug civilization. He said, they have no good qualities, just making so much problems, woof, woof, or something. You know, like he used to talk about the immigration. What do you think? He said, what is your name? I said, and I couldn't remember my name. I was going to say Bhakta Brian. I said, Indra Dumna Das. He said, Indra Dumna, what do you think?